theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1. Happy New Year's Eve, everybody.
Happy New Year's Eve, friends. Yes. Hope everyone's doing well and excited to go into the new year of 2021. I think we can all agree.
Yes.
We are so done with 2020.
Yes, it's not as though it's fully going to be over the chaos, but this is something that we should be proud of. We got through 2020.
We did.
We're on to the next one.
We did. Well, it's interesting. So today we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions because I think most of us attempt to make some sort of New Year's resolutions, at the end and the beginning of a new year. And it's interesting that we do this, I think, because, right. You and I have talked about how different parts of the world have different calendars,
you know,
so this is according to the Western calendar that the new year is occurring today, tomorrow, right?
Yep. At midnight tonight. Last year, we celebrated Chinese New Year, Tet. The year of the rat.
Yes.
And it was a little bit.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, we're excited to celebrate New Year's, and it's going to be a much different celebration than many of us had last year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Last year, we were really having a great time on the rooftop of a skyscraper in Bangkok.
Yeah.
It was a great story. We snuck up to the roof. It was awesome.
It was awesome. But, you know, this year is going to be a little bit different, obviously.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Definitely not going to do that this year. But, you know, just going back to what I was saying about how we have, like, this new sense of, like, oh, there's a new beginning. This is my time to, like, refresh and restart.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's interesting. Humans, regardless of what calendar they have some sort of, like, a refresh.
Yes.
And this is actually, this is referred to in research as the fresh start effect.
The fresh start effect.
Yeah. And
that
business
sounds nice.
It is. And businesses actually really know about this effect as they, different companies market, you know, like at the beginning of a new month differently or at the beginning of a new year and whatnot. And definitely at the beginning of a week. I mean, if you think about marketing on a Friday versus on Monday, it's very different.
Very.
Right. So, we're going to talk about our own New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. And also like different ways that, well, yeah, we'll tell you what our New Year's resolutions are and why we set them. And then I think a little bit of things that I'm excited about is that it's going to be beneficial to help others set really good New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we've all probably experienced this where we say, okay, at the beginning of the year, this is my New Year's resolutions. And then a few months go by and it's like, I lost steam with that. Right. And so
some of that has to do with how you set your New Year's resolutions.
It does. And so that brings me to this, this relatively new article that was just recently published.
Hmm.
It was published by researchers out of Sweden and they basically wanted to look into, they did a longitudinal study. So they did it over a full year.
Time.
Yeah. Yep. And they got over 1,000 people to do this online.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they split the individuals who participated in this experiment. They wanted to know like what makes a New Year's resolution, what makes individuals actually
succeed
in their New Year's resolution,
right?
So they divided the group up into, or they divided the sample up into three different groups. One was the control.
Yep.
So it was basically, they just said, hey, set your New Year's goal.
Right.
That's it. Just like how we all do it, right? So that's the control group, which is like you're normal. You're just doing it on your own, right?
Right.
The second group, however, that they were asked to set their own goals similar to the way that group one did, just like set them, you know? And then what they did is that they actually gave them more support. So they said, identify a few friends and family members who you would be willing to share your New Year's resolution with.
Mm.
And then we're going to actually send you emails and we're going to encourage your family and friends to send you emails, just checking in on you and see how you're going, right? How you're doing.
That's a pretty good strategy.
Yeah. So interesting. So that was like that group was really all about like support. So if you were held accountable and you had a little bit of support going through it, right? The third group was asked to not just make a general New Year's resolution. They were asked to make really specific, detailed, resolutions or goals, right, for the new year that were supposed to be measurable, very specific, and basically included deadlines, like time frames of like, okay, so in this month, so for example, like one New Year's resolution a lot of people make is like, I'm going to lose weight, right, or I'm going to exercise more. And so if you were to say, okay, I want to lose weight, well, okay, how much? Like, they said, no, you can't just say, I want to lose weight. You have to say like, okay, I want to lose 3 pounds a month, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then measure yourself at the end of the month and see how that went.
Right.
And you would also get the same, you would actually get even more support from friends and family members and the research group of like, hey, how's it going? Did you actually lose 3 months or three pounds this month, you know? Right. And so it lets play out for a full year.
And I'm assuming that's the group that was most successful.
Right. That's what the researchers thought. But no.
What?
Actually, well, overall, with the entire sample across all three groups, about 55% of people actually did continue on with their New Year's resolution, which is pretty good. 55% is not bad. I would have probably guessed even lower.
If you're doing it for a study, I think that that's going to naturally increase.
Very
it a
true.
Bit, you know?
Yes, very true. But the second group was the one who held on to their resolutions the most.
I wonder why.
Interesting, right? Okay, so yeah, the question is why?
Yeah, I don't understand.
And the researchers had a hypothesis, a conclusion, which they thought basically, like, why would precise resolutions actually cause you to not?
Yeah.
Right? Because we talk about goal setting and stuff like that, and they usually have to be very precise and specific, right?
Yeah, specific, measurable.
So why would that? Well, the researchers believe that the resolutions actually gave participants too much negative feedback.
Ah.
And so by failing, by not reaching their goals at, like, the end of each month, for example, they actually felt demoralized.
Interesting.
Like, it was like failure was a demoralizing thing to them.
And so they just easily were more, it was easier for them to give up.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So the takeaways from this study that I just want to put into your brain as we're sharing our own New Year's resolutions, and for you listeners out there too, maybe these are the two takeaways from this study that they concluded, right? One was pick a somewhat amorphous New Year's resolution. So not very, not as specific as like, I'm going to lose 3 pounds every month, right?
Okay.
Something, it's okay to be a little bit more vague, right? So you're not meeting specific, precise goals and failing them and then being discouraged,
Yeah.
So don't do that. Second was that those who had goals for trying new things rather than fixing something about themselves was more easily done and successful by people, right? So, I mean, the major takeaway from that is like, well, quitting something is more difficult than adding something new, for example, right? So, like, if you're like, I want to decrease my intake of alcohol this year, you know, that's a little bit, that's a good thing to do for sure.
Right.
Or decrease my consumption of caffeine, right? But if you are drinking a cup of coffee every single day to, like, wake up, that's more difficult to do than say, oh, I want to maybe learn a new language, right?
Okay, so doing something new is...
So adding something new, like experiencing something new, like maybe another goal could be like, I want to travel. Obviously, we can't travel right now, but eventually one of my New Year's goals is to like maybe be a little bit more outgoing. Maybe I want to, you know, connect with other people.
Maybe not. Well, connect virtually or via audio or whatever.
Reach out to people more so, right? Adding more new things to do that you want to, like, you want to add to your life to make yourself a better version of yourself, I think is a good thing. So
I think it's great.
Those two takeaways, just they don't need to be, your resolution doesn't need to be super specific and precise on a monthly basis.
That's interesting.
And two, you know, if you really want to set yourself up for success,
hold yourself accountable, find a support group, and also look to add things.
Yeah, add new things to your life.
Versus taking things away as your resolution.
Well, obviously, if you want to take away things that are, you know, like you want to lower the amount of like junk food that you eat, that's probably a good thing, right? But just know that it's going to be more difficult than adding something new.
Maybe it's more beneficial to say, eat more broccoli than take away junk food. And therefore, you are replacing it.
Absolutely. And that's actually seen over and over again in research on habits.
Yeah.
That usually with like when you're trying to break a particularly bad habit, it's best to replace it with something else, right?
Yeah,
Rather than just try to take it away from your life entirely.
I remember that in the book, Habits. Yeah. It's funny. So first off, audience members, friends, we have done this list separately. We took notes separately. And oddly enough, my notes are very similar to what you were discussing, except I was fully thinking that SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant and time-bound goals would be something that would be a good thing for the New Year's goals. So all my New Year's goals are fitting the SMART goal criteria. What I'm starting to think, though, is if the researchers that you discussed were unable to say that the variables that they were testing with the specificity and the measurable aspects were less likely for the individuals to succeed in attaining their New Year's resolution. I'm wondering if it's because they didn't set attainable goals. You got to set attainable goals. And when you hear my New Year's resolutions, I did set them up to be extremely easy.
Like, attainable, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I think that that's a really interesting variable to add into that experiment. And I did not see any measure of like how attainable it is. Obviously, that seems to be a bit subjective, especially when you're considering like weight loss. Everyone is different. Their bodies are different.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is required for them to actually lose 3 pounds a month, you know, is kind of a difficult thing to do. But
yeah, in general, you know, the more difficult the goal, the better the performance. But I would say with New Year's resolutions, because they're such a long-term goal, I do think it's better to just keep it lower. If you exceed your goal, that's great news.
Yeah.
But I think if you just keep it at a manageable level, that should be enough to proceed throughout the next 365 days.
Agreed. So I'm excited to hear what your New Year's resolutions are.
All right, I'll go first. Okay. Here we go. My very first one is, this one goes out to my mom, who I love and adore. She's a personal trainer, and she's kind of been, I don't want to use the word nagging, but she's definitely been messaging me that I should be doing some push-ups. And I fully get it. I should be doing push-ups. I downloaded an app called Push-Ups in hope that it would like get me excited about it and get me going on a streak. But push-ups are boring. I just don't like them that much. But I'm going to have a New Year's resolution of doing a minimum of 20 push-ups. Oops, I wrote the wrong thing. I wrote per day, but that's definitely not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do 20 push-ups per, let's go with week.
Wow.
That's very attainable.
That's very attainable.
My mom's
attainable.
Not going to be happy about that
no,
one. But
20 push-ups a week.
20 push-ups a week. I feel like I got that. That's 52 weeks. That's a lot of push-ups though. Now, if I do more, woo-hoo-hoo. Yay. I'm very proud of myself. But you know what? I want to make sure that I attain this goal, and I think that it would be very doable. And that also means if I forget 1 week, I'll just do 40 the next week, you know? And I think I could do that.
Yeah. No, it's good, and I think it's interesting that you're using an app for this. There are actually several different apps that hold you accountable, too, now out there. I don't know
this
anyone push-ups
in app
particular,
sucks,
but
I'll tell you, like, well, it's not very good.
There is one app. I'll try to find it, and if I do, I'll link it into the description of the podcast, but there's one app that I know where you actually put down money with yourself, like $5,
no
and
need.
If you actually do make it, then you get that $5 back, and if you don't do it, then it gets donated to
not
the charity
yeah.
of your choice, or a charity that you don't want.
I appreciate
want.
That, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do 20 push-ups a week. Everyone's going to cheer me on and be very
I'll
proud.
I'll cheer you on for sure.
And if I happen to do 21 that week, congratulations, Jonathan. You are incredible.
Nice.
What is your new? Give me one of yours. I wonder how many do you have?
I have several, but you don't have to go through all of them.
Yes, throw them at me.
I'm just going to throw a couple at you or a few.
Here. And one, I want to know why, too.
Yeah, well, one is something that we already started doing, but I want to continue doing it on into the new year for sure. And that is being more proactive in reaching out to individuals, others who maybe I haven't really connected with, or ensuring that when I do, you know, meet someone new, that the follow-up is there, you know? And I think one thing that I have heard about that I think is pretty cool and interesting.
Yeah.
And this was before I read this, you know, article that I just explained about specific goals, was to like write like a thank you note or a thank you email to one individual, at least one individual a month that you are like,
that's
like
a
really
lot,
wanting to say like, thank you.
Yeah.
Up to, you know, where that's like your intention each month. Who is that person that you're going to reach out to, whether it's a phone call, a letter that you write to them in mail, or an email.
So it doesn't have to be a physical card.
No. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. It could just be an email or phone call or whatnot.
Attainable.
Yeah. I agree. So I'll just share another one with you though. I want to get better at Spanish.
That's a very good one. Yeah. I definitely have been working on my Duolingo. You have too. We're on a long streak, and I do think it is getting better. I mean, if you just do it every day, it helps. And I'm definitely going to continue to carry my streak on as long as I can.
Well, I think that in me putting down, I want to get better at Spanish, I think more specific is that I want to get better at conversational Spanish.
I had a feeling that
so
you were going to say that. Yeah,
I was going to suggest if you wanted to, if this was something that was part of your New Year's resolution, is to maybe come up with maybe once a week.
Perfect.
Once a week.
I was going to say per week.
Once a week. We do
good.
Like we have 1 hour where we actually...
I was
going to
say 30 minutes, but okay, I'm feeling you.
An hour where we're talking in Spanish.
Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, because we're doing Duolingo. We do Duolingo every day. If we do Duolingo every day...
Which we do.
Yeah. Then we should have the vocabulary to be able to speak with each other. Yeah. It's going to be a little bit frustrating and slow at first, but just remember the days when we were living in Central America and we had to speak it every single day. That right. was the time where we were the most fluent we've ever been.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe we can do 30 or 45 minutes. Okay. Week. You can pick.
45.
All right. 45 very quick minutes. I'm looking forward to it. I also wanted to mention on your connecting ones.
Yeah.
That's a great one. I really appreciate Thanks. That one. I want to try to do that as well. What we've learned as we've been connecting with our friends and reconnecting with our friends and family via email or, I don't know, sometimes a phone call or whatever,
yeah.
is that I've been realizing that it's important, especially if they're not like in your direct circle, it's important to kind of keep low expectations because yeah. everyone's busy. These are weird times. And one thing that I found is that there's going to be a few people who you're just not going to hear from. They might yeah. have changed their number. They might have, like, you know, taken themselves off of Facebook, you know,
Entirely,
Messenger
yeah.
or whatever mm-hmm. whatever platform you're using. So keep your expectations low because you don't want to, you know, have that feeling of like, oh,
they didn't respond. Yeah.
So I think that's an important aspect that we should keep in mind as we're going to go into the new year
yeah.
and we will continue to connect and reconnect with people who are important and meaningful to us.
I think it's a really great thing overall. Just spread those positive vibes.
Did you put a specific measurement or anything with that one? I know it's like not the best thing, you know, but like, did you say per month, like we're going to connect with someone per month or we're just going to do it more often?
Well, I said one person per month.
One person per month. Yeah. That's great. That's very doable.
Yeah.
I could do that.
I think one person a month is fine. I think honestly, I would probably want to even go as far as like to really increase that. But I think one of the things I've learned about myself this year is once I start doing it,
mm-hmm.
it's like the very action of doing it,
yeah.
right? Of just mm-hmm. the first after you send that first email, oh, then you're going to send another one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and then I want to send. Oh
it's
yeah,
it's a nice little flow.
It starts to become more of like a domino effect. So I feel like if at least I intentionally have one person
yeah.
new that I reach out to, then I think it'll help me. Think about anyone else that maybe I want to include into that month or in the following month.
Well said. Yeah, that's a good plan. Okay, good. I just want to make sure I got that one cleared up in my brain. You ready for mine?
Yes.
My next one is something that we do, and I want to continue the streak and maybe make it a little more rigorous. We always do, what are we grateful for? I mean, we've discussed it many times. We do three things that we're grateful for,
yeah.
ensuring that they're completely different from what we say the prior days and being specific with what we're grateful for. So I can't just say, I'm grateful for Quinn. I got to be like, I'm grateful for Quinn bringing me coffee in bed today, you know,
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah.
So I would like to continue to do that, but I want to hold us accountable for doing it a minimum of 4 days a week.
I think that's good.
I think that's very doable. I think, you know, I've been reading, I've been consuming an audiobook called Gracious, like Being Thankful 1,000 Times, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's honestly not that good of an audiobook, and I don't really want to recommend it, so that's why I'm not telling you the
yeah.
specific title. But it basically talks about the benefits of being thankful, and he does it in a weird way. He's kind of a weird guy, but he goes to his coffee shop called Joe's Coffee, and he wants to thank every single person associated with getting that coffee to him. So, you know, he starts at the barista, then he goes to the person who sources the beans, then he goes, like, it starts getting weird. Then he goes to the person that or the company that manufactures the tops and thanks the inventor of it, and then he thanks the person who does the little sleeves, and he's like, you know how many people are so grateful for not burning their hands? And I'm like, okay, you're kind of stretching this a bit. But he also explains how gratitude leads to happiness. And oddly enough, happiness does not lead to gratitude necessarily. Mm. And so, like, keeping that theme going, I wanted to ensure that we carry that over because I want to have another, you know, we all need to be happy. This is important. This is 2021. It's been a hell of a year. And let's try to go in with some positivity, keep those smiles as big as possible. And gratitude is a great way of approaching it.
I love that. I really do love that. I think that's certainly a doable resolution.
Yeah.
Something that we try to do every day. But mm-hmm. I think if we just hold ourselves accountable to at least 4 times a week,
yeah,
I think that's super doable. And for sure, it always, even if I'm not in the mood to do it, it always makes me feel better.
Right. And I expect that we'll end up doing it more than 4 times a week. But I just wanted to hold it to 4 times just because, you know, sometimes things get busy and also the weekend's a little bit different too, you know? Yeah. But the book, just because I already said it, it's called Thanks a Thousand.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Thanks a Thousand.
Thanks a Thousand. Right. Well, I think that's going to be a really great one for us both moving forward.
Yeah.
And I hope others take it on too. We've done several different podcasts about gratitude and ways to be thankful during a time where it seems like everything's like falling down, you know?
There's a lot to be grateful for.
There's a lot to be grateful for.
No matter what, every day.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard, but push through 4 days. You got this.
Absolutely. So another one that I have. Now, this is going to be, I know your reaction to it.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to tell you.
It's working out.
Well, no, I'm going to tell you two real quick. One is obvious.
Okay.
I want to continue with this podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every day.
That's a great one. This is good because a lot of the ones that I've written down, you are stating as well.
Okay,
I had Duolingo, and I definitely had, I want to complete a full year of
podcasting. Yeah.
And I think it's got to go beyond. I mean, like, we started in October.
Yeah.
So a full year would be in October. Yeah. I think we should just say, you know, let's go for the full 2021.
Yeah, I think it will be fun. I mean, it's growing. It's growing organically, which is really fun to see.
I'm enjoying it. You're enjoying it.
I love having these conversations with you. Love sharing our, you know, thoughts, insights, and stories with others.
Too.
And, you know, I just think, honestly, most podcasters stop.
Right.
Over time,
we
because they're not
that.
Seeing, you know, any sort of
rapid growth.
But the podcast game is a long term game.
Yeah. And we're in
We're in it and we love it. And so it's not to make money or anything. Like that. It's really just because we genuinely love it.
It
so
could maybe one day, but
you know, what,
if anything, like, think of all the things we're gaining from doing it though. Like,
it's awesome.
I feel as though I'm becoming a better speaker perhaps.
Yes.
And I also believe that this is preparing me for understanding what it is that brings us great joy as a career.
Yes.
And I can't dream of a better career than talking to my wife every day.
Me either. And I love, you've said this a couple times privately when we're just talking at night. You've said, you know, I'm really grateful that we're actually documenting this time too.
Yeah.
And I am too, even though obviously it's going to be a little bit cringy for me to listen to the first few eventually. I know that I will re-listen
to them
again.
Even these ones right now.
Yeah, but you know, we're definitely evolving. We're getting better. And I agree. It's helping us with a lot of different things that we wanted to get better at.
Right.
Like, we were really hoping that we could go out and, you know, do some public speaking events in 2020. Yeah. That was definitely on our radar and our plan. And
not this year.
We just could, honestly, we had some scheduled and we had to everything was canceled. So it was like, well, how else can we really improve our communication ability with others to, you know, disseminate information or just even have great conversations, the art of the conversation.
This is a great way to do it. Yep.
So the other one that I'm just excited to get your reaction on is I would like to write a book.
Oh my gosh. Here we go. This is exciting. I think that's really awesome, actually.
I didn't say publish a book.
Yeah.
I said, I want to write a book.
Why don't we just publish your journal? You got like 200 pages in there.
Oh, it's way more than 200 pages. My it's like 500 and something pages. But, you know, I think that you and I over the past 3-4 years have written more text in our lifetime in those 4 years than we have like ever in the whole. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but it feels like that.
I would say that that's pretty likely, actually.
Yeah, I mean, my dissertation was over like 200 pages. Like, yours was just
and
about
how
close
many
to there.
Drafts did we go
so
through,
many drafts and how many other papers
yes. Oh yeah, so it would probably, I'm confident in saying in those 4 years, it was well over 1,000 papers submitted. 1,000 pages of paper.
I agree.
Submitted. And
a lot of it, yes.
That wasn't always fun.
It wasn't always fun. Well, a lot of it was more, it wasn't as creative. It was more academic writing.
Yes.
So I would like to take the writings that we already have and then actually make them for like public consumption, right?
Yeah.
So I've thought about various different, you know, ideas for books, but I think that a good place to start is what we've already written and then try to figure out something according to that, you know, creating an outline. I've already got several different outlines, including also our story about life out of the box.
Yeah.
So, you know, the life out of the box story, that could be one thing, but the other unknown potential book topics, mm-hmm. I think will probably come from all of our thousands of pages of writing from our PhD
Interesting.
Programs. Yeah.
Yeah. It could come from that. I wouldn't be surprised if a topic arises from something that we discuss on the podcast as well.
Me too. Yeah.
And I think it's important that we just pursue those things that we're passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, if you're feeling something, and you know, the best feeling in the world is when you're in that flow and just things are coming out as fast as possible.
Yeah.
I really think that we're going to have that moment and it will come out in the form of writing. And that could become a book. It could become something else. Who freaking knows? But
it could be a book / a really interesting, different type of an audiobook too.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. So that's a really interesting one. Do you have any boundaries with that? You know, like you want to write one. So it's not to publish necessarily.
Yeah, not to publish
necessarily. But do you have any, like, you know, I want to have at least some amount of pages or have an outline or anything like that, or just keep it broad?
I don't have specific goals with it yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like, I literally just wrote this down right before we started recording, yeah. But I did write down, you know, like basically trying to write something almost every day.
Right. You already do that.
I already do it. So yeah. If it's at least somewhat focused in the morning, mm-hmm. and I have, you know, I know I include it into my morning routine, which we definitely started to do in Oklahoma,
mm-hmm,
which was writing every day. 'Cause that was like the number one, honestly, it was the best tip that we ever got, was like, just write something every day. Hmm. Like, and so if I could get back into that routine,
yeah.
of writing something every day, whether it's for a potentially new podcast or for this book or for an audio, you know,
maybe it's like, 'cause you do write every day. So it'd be like project specific. So maybe you're going to create a Google document and name it Quinn's project or Quinn's book.
Book outline.
And then you just start writing in there, and it could come out in journal format. But as the more you write it, the more it's going to come out in clear form.
Exactly.
And at least you have one specific document designed for the development of that.
Exactly.
That's a good idea.
Thanks.
I feel you. Well, I have one more, and it's a good one. A lot of mine, I'm realizing, are things that we typically do, which does make it more likely that we'll attain them.
Yeah.
But I do want to keep these streaks going no matter where we go or where we live or whatever happens.
Yeah.
I've really been enjoying the walks that we go on.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can keep it really simple. It doesn't have to be a long walk, but I do think for me, it's really beneficial to have some outdoor time walking with you. I mean, that's when I do my Gratefuls. You know, it's perfect for me. And so I would like to do that. And I think that it's not a problem to do it 5 days a week at least, you know?
Yeah.
Go on a walk. Could be short, could be super long.
Yeah.
Could involve fun activities like, you know, playing tennis or, you know, throwing football or something. But a little bit of walking, that's that, get the heart pumping a little bit, little bit of like reflecting, a little bit of recognizing, you know, it's a beautiful world out there, not glued to the computer screen. I'd like to maintain that, and I'd like to ensure that we do it for 5 days of the week. Definitely. Going into 2021.
I love that. I love that idea. Good. There's something about walking, like the pace of it.
Yeah,
that
the helps, rhythm. Yeah.
You know, with the brain, just like kind of gets things moving.
Creativity
and just,
juices, all that.
100%. Or it just brings like a great relief to just be outside in nature.
Absolutely.
Not in front of the computer. I love nature.
We both love nature. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I think those are great. And I hope that, you know, I mean, we shared our own New Year's resolutions. We presented, you know, a research paper about like ways that maybe you could help you all with your own New Year's resolution.
A couple, you know,
it doesn't need to be a crazy list, and it could be, you know, just don't feel like it has to be
something monumental.
Yeah. I think, you know, we can all forgive ourselves a little bit. I think we need to be a little bit more kind to ourselves and, you know, the fact that if we can get out of this pandemic in one piece, that's a freaking amazing thing in and of itself.
Definitely.
So, that's keep on trekking on, you guys. I'm excited for what 2021 will bring. Yep. We'll see. And I have nothing but, you know, positive vibes to just send to all of y'all.
Yes, yes. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Three, two. Bye. hope you've enjoyed this journey through sound.